Welcome to the Michigan Writers Series. This evening, Keith Taylor. I'm Jane Arnold, your host for the interview program portion. Welcome, Keith.
Good to be here.
I know you're a Michigan resident by choice, but a Canadian by birth. How did you happen to settle here? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been, it'll be next year, it'll be 25 years since I've lived in Michigan, which amazes me sometimes when I stop to think about it. I actually came to Michigan because at one point my life fell apart. I'd been living in Europe and I was going to marry a Frenchman. And that relationship fell apart and I applied to graduate schools and I went to the one, my sole criterion was the one that would give me the most money.
Uh-huh.
And the one that gave me the most money was Central Michigan University. So I went there and did a master's degree.
When were you there?
In 1975. I went there. And at that point, it was just a place to go to, to recover from the devastation of my life. I met the woman I would later marry there. She then went to Ann Arbor, and I followed her down there and started working as a bookseller, and I've been there ever since. And it's worked out quite well.
And you're a bookseller where?
I work at Shame and Drum Bookshop, which is a little academic scholarly and literary shop.
A very famous one.
Well, we're doing
here
okay.
As well.
Thank you. Just out from the University of Michigan, and it's been good. We've been able to keep it going with all the various assaults that had happened in the book business.
Oh, yes.
But it's been kind of exhilarating, too.
Uh-huh.
Step back a little bit from that now. I'm doing a little bit of teaching at the university and...
teaching creative writing?
I am doing tutorials in poetry fiction and creative nonfiction for the residential college at the University of Michigan. I do that every fall term.
Very, very nice.
So at the bookstore 8 months of the year, and I work the fall term and then take a little bit more time off to work on the writing.
Mm-hmm. So. Your latest book of poems is Everything I Need. From 1996. I particularly liked that later volume of poetry, although there's really lots and lots of favorites in the other volumes as well. And I'm going to say something that maybe poets don't like. It's accessible.
Well, it's that's part of what I'm about. Yes.
Yes.
That's true. That's an important aesthetic criteria.
And, well, I think that it's really pretty important in order to spread the word about poetry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike poetry that's difficult. I don't think that...
it's not shallow either.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
there's levels and levels.
But it's not... My aesthetic is to look for a clear voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I value most. When, the people like to draw those distinctions, are you a Hemingway writer or a Fitzgerald writer? Well, I'm definitely a Hemingway writer. In the prose style, although perhaps in sort of the moral ambiguities, thematically I might be closer to Fitzgerald, although I'm not even sure of that. But I definitely admire the Hemingway style. That's a style that has its own reflections in American poetry.
As we were talking just before we started the interview about the lean, spare style, I wonder if you could...
Well, I think it's certainly, I mean, I think it may go back even earlier than that, but part of it's buried in Whitman's aesthetic. I mean, maybe even not more in his aesthetic than in his practice, that attempt to reach out to the people, to have what you do to be included in what the concerns of the people, the concerns of the audience. Of course, the early 20th century, the American, for me, the great American high modernist was William Carlos Williams, as opposed to other people, as opposed to Stevens
That's
or Eliot or Pound.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Frost, that other people might latch on to. Mine was certainly Williams, who carried that aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
From that aesthetic was important.
It sent me
to
back.
Find that American voice. And I think it's great. And later poets that I admire, too, including my own contemporaries, are poets who tend to work in that style.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found that your poems were often the ones that appealed to me most were the gentle but wise and amusing poems that led you on, often leaving you with a mysterious event that happens or something that's quirky. End.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a treat.
Good, thanks.
This volume, Everything I Need, and others feature Michigan a lot.
Sure, Michigan's played a lot. I have several different hats I wear as a writer, and certainly one of them that I've worked a lot in is as a nature writer, and that that focus for that part of my writing life has been primarily the Upper Great Lakes, which is mostly Michigan, and although I'm very interested in North Superior too, Canadian Shore.
In Canada, you still have love and a memory and an affection for that as well.
Oh, I do, yes. I'm still a Canadian citizen. I've never actually gone through the changes. Yes, it's just I somehow feel I have to remain one. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It gets a little complicated. I have an American wife and an American child, but I've remained a Canadian citizen. And almost out of, I mean, no, not inertia is certainly the wrong reason for it. I mean, it's a choice. I'd like to be able to be a little more active in my local politics than my inability to vote allows me to be. But it's important for me to keep that northern sense, northern imagination.
Let's go on to your prose,
okay.
Which, by the way, is poetic narrative, whereas some of your others is narrative poetry.
Right. Certainly the ones I've published in books, the ones you would know.
Life Science and Other Stories, mm-hmm. 1995, mm-hmm. is the series of loosely semi-connected prose works. But it's they're all very distinctive. It's life seen and described by a naturalist. You.
I think that's, yeah, I think it's...
Who is a poet.
Yeah, yeah. It's a transitional volume for me. I wanted to work a lot more in some longer narrative patterns. And this was a volume where I could take some of the lessons I'd learned writing lyric poems and start moving toward those longer narrative
mm-hmm.
patterns. I like the book quite a bit. Most of what I'm writing now is longer, and a good deal of what I'm going to read tonight in the reading is going to be longer narrative patterns. Or an essay that appears in a brand new journal published by Michigan State called The Fourth Genre, which is a much longer sort of narrative
mm-hmm.
about that nature.
It's writing. Interesting how this is burgeoning as a genre.
It certainly is. I mean, it certainly is. I mean, all over the place. You know, I think, again, that's the kind of thing that might follow one of those literary waves.
Mm.
There may be times that we feel the need to do that. And, you know, sort of the fantasy act, we're going to sum up, you know, we want to sum up our experience of the last century. And I think there might be a certain kind of nostalgia in that, sort of end of century attempt to understand what we've been through as you know.
Well, certainly much of your work is autobiographical.
Certainly.
It's... I don't know if it's diary, but it's
some of it's actually quite close to diary. The first I published a little book of Isle Royale stuff that had obvious journal extracts in it. And then
your chapbooks, by the way, are charming. They're just
beautiful,
beautifully printed.
It's a wonderful form. You can deal with these. Get 10 things that go together really well, and not have to worry about 60 things.
Well, yes. I want to read my favorite sentence because I don't know if you're going to read it, because it was so beautiful. Ornithology, like poetry and mathematics, is a field where the young and self-educated, excited by early abilities, often surpass their elders.
I'm glad
is
you like that.
That you?
I love that.
I
sentence.
Love that.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it be nice?
It's
except,
so true.
Except I'm what, almost 47 years old now. So I'm not a writer who had enormous success young. and my poem says... My poems are certainly stories as a young man were probably not worth a whole lot of attention. Although I always have to keep in mind, and I always make sure I remind my English teacher friends that the history of literature is just filled with people who did brilliant things at 18 and 19.
Oh, yes.
And not all literature, not just English literature. And we have to remember that sometimes brilliance just shines through, and there really is such a thing as talent. It's a terrible thing we have to recognize. There are people who are more talented than I am. They may not work harder. They may not keep at it. They may not persevere, but they have more talent.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
well,
I
think
glad
you're
you like
talented.
That sentence. I always love that sentence. I love the flow of that sentence.
I love the
I
meaning.
I like the commas of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been one of my favorites, too, and you're the first person to hold it up.
Oh, good. Yeah. What are you working on now?
Working on a long family narrative. You'll see some of that tonight, in fragments tonight.
Okay.
It's probably going to be a very big book. The quick version of it is in my bookstore a couple of years ago, I found a very obscure book that I was actually going to mark down and sell on my bargain tables outside the store that had in it the police report of my immigrant great-grandmother's suicide, and ended with a copy of her suicide note, and the family had successfully hidden that story in my grandparents' generation. That was a suicide that had happened in Alberta in 1907, and I have found it in Ann Arbor, Michigan in 1996. It was a story that...
90 years.
Yes. And so I've started going back and finding out incredible things about this whole family story, although they're very gloomy. And as I'm going to warn people tonight, the story that I'm going to slowly be constructing over the course of the evening. I'd like to say it went somewhere that left you. I like where it goes. I like how it's getting there. But right now, it just ends in a very sad place. And that's been a lot of work. It's been very good. And I think I've just decided to make it a mixed genre kind of book. I'll probably call it a novel, although it will have real names, real incidents. And you know, even I will be a character in the book. So it will be a mixed genre kind of book. Hopefully the fictional element will allow me a certain amount of freedom to move in and out of other people's heads.
Where can we get some of your work?
The Book of Prose is available most places.
So that's, we can order that.
We can order that.
The poetry?
The poetry, let's see, that is probably the only one that's orderable now is the most recent one. That's the only one that's officially in print. My little bookshop down in Ann Arbor, Shame and Drum Bookshop in Ann Arbor, has two of the earlier chapbooks. They're officially out of print, but I have some copies that I keep in my own bookshop, which is nice. I also take them around to readings. Then two of the books, Dial Royal book and a little book called Weather Report, they are out of print, and I only have a few copies. Mm-hmm. But the life science and other stories, that would be available.
What do you read for pleasure, or who do you read?
Absolutely everything. I'm a
running
compulsive reader.
Running a bookshop must be tempting.
And I review books. I mean, I make an extra part of my living. I have a book column in one of the local papers and do freelance reviews. And I go around lecturing on books. I read a lot. There are certain kinds of things I love at particular moments. I'm very fond of natural history essays, belletristic essays on natural history themes. I've been reading an awful lot of that in the last few years. Right now, of course, with this project, I'm reading a bunch of Canadian and prairie history, which is very, absolutely captivates me. I mean, that's hard sell.
No, not by any means. You know those, the Canadian poems where there's a plane and there's weather or blizzard coming
over? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so plains evoking.
Good,
it's
good,
really.
Good. That landscape's an incredible landscape.
Yes. Well, I believe that it is about time for your reading to begin.
Great, let's
so
go do it.
I just want to thank you very much
thank
for
you,
taking some time
thank you.
To talk to us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.